Bishop McDonald was born January 15th, 1954, and the son of Blake and now Sunel McDonald. He holds a BA in religious studies and psychology from the College of St. Scholastica in Duluth, Minnesota, an MA in divinity from Wycliffe College, and did postgraduate work at Luther Northwestern Theological Seminary in Minneapolis. He is the board chair for Church Innovators, Inc., and a Third Order Franciscan. Bishop McDonald is a published author. Bishop McDonald and his wife, Virginia, have three children and live in Toronto. Bishop.
Bizanza win gichi manado giga wiju yawa goa nindawe maganag. Now, if you had lived here 200 years ago, you would have understood that perfectly. But today, I was so impressed. A number of you greeted me in Ojibwe, and that was spectacular. And I greeted you in Ojibwe as well, a little bit more. I said, "May the peace of God be with you all. You are all my relatives." That's a very respectful way to greet someone, and I'd like to start out in that way. Yes.
I'm sorry. Can our techies confirm that the microphone is actually amplifying properly, please?
How about that? Is that better? No.
There's one that's an amplifier and one that's a recorder.
That's on.
And I want to make sure they're both.
Is it on? Hello? Let me just adjust this.
Okay.
Oh, that's that one. Yep. There's this one. And speak a little louder.
So you couldn't hear me back there?
Oh, no.
Not well.
Hello?
Some of us overvote.
Well, I'm. As was mentioned, I'm right there with you.
Has this got any? Oh, okay.
No.
No? Okay. Okay. How about another mic?
How about another mic?
Okay.
There
we go. Okay. How is this? Is this better?
Yep.
Okay. Is that better? That's good? Okay. I'll keep right here with this. Okay. So what I began by saying was, in Ojibwe, I said, "May the peace of God be with you. You are all my relatives." And that's a respectful way to greet people in Ojibwe. And I'd like to begin in that way. I'm really looking forward to this time together. I'll say a little bit more introductory tomorrow, but I want to begin with a story that means a lot to me. My wife says that it gets better every time I tell it, so we'll hope that it works here. Many, many years ago, when I was in college, I would visit my girlfriend, usually later at night. I would drive over. I lived in Duluth, Minnesota, which is a city that's built on a hill. And when snow comes or ice comes, it gets very difficult to drive around. And I drove over to see her one night. It was about 1 o'clock, and the Bible study must have gone very late that night. And 1 o'clock, of course, is also just about closing time at the local bars, but I'm not sure which I was at, the Bible study or the bar, but I was one or the other, and I came over this hill leading to her house, and as I came over the hill, I looked down, and there were two cars across the street, one this way, another this way, with a very little bit of room in between them. It looked horrible, and there were men standing all around them. And I didn't know what to do. I slammed on the brakes, but it was icy. And I t- tried to pull over to the side, and I banged into a car on the side of the road, and then I tried to get back, and the tires just spinned. I couldn't back up. So I decided to go down and see what was going on. I didn't have anything else to do. So I walked down, and there were a bunch of guys not dressed for being out in the snow. They were dressed, I guess, for Bible study, like me, maybe, or maybe they were at the bar. I'm not sure which it was. They didn't seem particularly bright at this moment. Perhaps their minds dulled by the intense study of Scripture. I'm not quite sure what it was. But anyway, they were all down there kicking snow, trying to get enough out of the way so that this one of the cars could have a little bit of traction. And everybody was trying to push them, but it just, with the snow and the ice, it was just the tires were just spinning. There was no way to deal with it, and so we did with whatever we had. Somebody tried to put some cardboard under one of the tires, and it just spread out. And some particularly bright guy emptied his cigarette ashtray right in front of the tires, and they just kind of spit out from the thing, and of course it didn't make any difference at all. Now at this point, again, this was kind of a dull group. They were well dressed, but pretty dull at this point, not moving too quickly. Somebody said, "Hey, don't you think we should like send somebody up to the top of the hill to flag people down?" Everybody went, "Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea." So we sent somebody up, and meanwhile, we went back to kicking snow and trying to push these cars. Well, anyway, this went on for a little while, and then all of a sudden we heard the guy up at the top of the hill yell out, and then he started waving his hands like this. He was waving his hands, and all of a sudden we saw an old car, which later we identified as a 1949 Volvo. Rusted out pretty bad. They rust out in northern Minnesota. And he came over the hill, and this guy waved at him, and apparently this guy just waved back. And you could see what was happening, not because you could see the guy's face, but because you could see the car reacting to the man's slow but sure telling what had happened in front of him. And so he slammed on the brakes, and his 1949 rusted out Volvo slid and turned around, and he started heading down the hill, going, I don't know, maybe 25, 30 miles an hour, headed down the hill backwards. He was headed down the hill backwards. And of course, all of the folks who were there just sat and went, "Wow." not a real bright group, this group. And he came tumbling down, you know, backwards. And he passed me up, and I could see in the car that he was horrified. He was looking behind himself, going backwards. He looked terrified, the poor man. You know, and I thought, oh, we're going to watch a huge accident. But then the first miracle happened. He slid through the two cars with maybe a centimeter on each side, perfectly. He didn't have his hands, he didn't scratch either one, he didn't hurt each other, either one. He's terrified, looking behind his back, but he goes right through it. He slips right through the two cars. It was amazing. And of course the group all went, "Wow." This was really incredible. So anyway, the car just kind of turns around quietly and slowly, surely, and he's going straight down the hill, and then it just slides over, and it bumps into a nice soft pile of snow, and it just kind of goes beep, beep. It just parks there. Everybody's going, wow. Yeah, you got it. You've got it so far. You guys are a little bit brighter than that group was. But anyway. So then, here's the second miracle. This guy, who must have, he's probably a pastor somewhere, anyway. He gets out of his car. He opens the door. He gets out of his car, and he goes, like that. Like he had just done it so perfectly, you know. So anyway, I think about this story quite often, you know. I think about it as a dad, I think about it as a bishop, and I think about it as a human being. Because in a lot of situations in life, we find ourselves going downhill backwards. I mean, We like to look like it's all like this, but in reality, a lot of our lives are like going down the hill backwards without much control. This is, I think, a common thing, and anybody who has engaged with life at all as a human being, and certainly anyone who has been a father, certainly anyone who has been a spouse, knows and understands what it's like to be falling down the hill backwards. And the funny thing about us is that we always want to act like we're in charge. The reality of our lives is that God is the power and the strength and the goodness of our lives. Amen. And coming to understand, coming to see this, coming to know this, is the most important thing that can happen to us. So that's what this conference is about. We've all, you and me, and I'll be right here with you. We're looking to find some space in our lives for God to do something great. Now, the wonderful thing is that even when we don't find space, God still chases after us. But tonight I want to give just a couple of remarks after telling you that story, which is my favorite funny story. I usually wait till the end, but I wanted to get you guys right at the first. I knew I wanted to hear you say, wow. Anyway. But yeah, very good, very good. That's enough. Anyway. God comes to us in Jesus Christ. He is the living Word. And not just the living Word that lived 2,000 years ago, but the living Word who lives today, who is present today, who is there for you today. And whether you know it or not, whether you are aware of it or not, Jesus has been active in your life. The living Word has been present and active in your life. The psalmist said, God spoke once and I heard two things. What he means by this is very important, that our human perception of things is limited. It's limited and fragmentary. We'll say a little bit more about that tomorrow. Our human perception of things is always limited and fragmentary. So God comes to us in two ways. God comes to us as John the Baptist, and God comes to us as the Virgin Mary. Let me explain what I mean. If you go into an Orthodox church, you'll find that there is one door in the middle. There's an icon of Jesus, and on either side, one icon of, or one holy picture of John the Baptist on one side and then Mary on the other side. Now this has a very important meaning to it. The way that Jesus is introduced to the world is through John the Baptist and through Mary. And they are the personality of the way God comes to us. I'm going to try to explain what I mean. John the Baptist is that voice of God in our minds and hearts that says, you are not doing right. It's time for you to change your life. That's the challenge. It's the rough voice, if you will, that comes to us. But God also comes to us in another way. And I would say it's even a preferred way. And that God comes to us as Mary, the nurturer, the lover. Both of these point to Jesus in our lives. Both of these are present in our lives. Both of these symbolize the way that God comes to us. Now, for me, I would have to say that God has come to me in both of those ways. I have met people who have come to know Jesus and come to understand Jesus simply through the love and the grace of God. What I mean by that is someone who wakes up in the middle of the night or in some other circumstance and suddenly realizes how wonderful, how precious, how fantastic God is in their lives, how precious they is. When we had our first child, I realized then, this is recorded, isn't it? I realized then how well my wife could sleep through crying babies. And she would probably say that I had the same capacity and skill. But our baby was waking up 3 or 4 or 5 times a night and crying. And I thought all 3 or 4 or 5 of them were mine. And I was getting so tired, so irritable. If you've had children, you probably know what that's like. So tired, so irritable. And then I slipped away for a conference, and I was so happy that I was going to be able to get a full night's sleep. But one of the elders at the conference had to go to the hospital, and I took her to the hospital. And we were in a place right next to a family with a little child, roughly the same age as my baby. And the child could not breathe. And as we sat there and waited for the elder to be seen, we listened to this child gasp for air. And crying in between the gasps for air. The child couldn't breathe. You know, I don't know, I can't remember how I connected that. But the next time I went home and my daughter woke up in the middle of the night and screamed at the top of her lungs, I was so happy. I was so happy. It's moments like those where the presence of the Word of God helps you to understand the blessings that you've had and confronts you not with the need that you have to change, but confronts you with the presence and the love of God as you have experienced it. So, I believe that God is going to come to all of us over the next couple of days, come to us in a powerful way. But for some of us, it will be a quiet way. For some of us, it will be louder. For some of us, it'll be kind of a mixture of those two. But the problem is that in these days, we often just look for God to come in the good things. We're not aware that God can come to us and confront us. So be aware over the next couple of days of how the presence of God is appealing to you. Whether you're having a John the Baptist moment, praise God for that. whether you're having a merry moment, praise God for that. Whether you're having a little bit of both, especially praise God for that. What a wonderful thing that is. What a powerful thing that is. Certainly that's what's been true in my life. So with you over the next few days, I'm going to be looking for God, God my strength, God my refuge, God my stronghold. That's what we're going to be looking for. And I believe that God will lead us and help us to discover that. Thank you very much.